dinowatts.ca every Tuesday, 9 till 11.
Dynamite!
Stephen King writes horror. If I was a Jew, then I'd light her menorah. I got thumbs for ya, excuse me, senora. Are you a horror? Are you a lady? Is it Erica Boyer or Marsha Brady? Let me know, hun, the deed'll get done. Just us in the position. I'll take my rod and then I'll go fishing. I'll get your river flowing, I'm always in the knowing. It comes to giving pleasure, I'm every woman's treasure. I came to work your body, so let me do my job. I've never been laid off, my rhymes still paid off. Now I'm making records, now I'm making tapes. Steady busting suckers in bunches like grapes. Making all the pace, scooping up the loot. Putting suckers on the run, pull my gun and I shoot. I never been a front, I never been a fraud. I got a natural skill, but I thank the Lord. Cause I feel blessed, I'm casually dressed. I always got my gun, but I never wear the vest. Quick on the draw, like a horse named McCraw from the cartoon. Boom, shalak, lock, boom, shalak, lock, boom.
Okay, that's quite enough of that. It is Tuesday. It is 4:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, which means it is time for Vancouver's preeminent mixed martial arts program, In the Cage with Bards. And because I survived a night in Coquitlam, I am still Carlin Bardsley. Lots to get to this week. West Coast MMA had their show this past weekend. We'll have a look at UFC 127 taking place this Saturday from Australia. An exclusive interview with UFC Vice President of Government and Regulatory Affairs, the esteemed Mr. Mark Ratner. So with all that to get to, let's just dive right in, shall we? West Coast MMA's Seeing Red 2 took place Friday night at the Boulevard Casino in Coquitlam. Excuse me. I was fortunate enough to witness it from the best seat in the house. I was cage side, sitting next to the beautiful ring girls, Mindy and Chelsea. Getting there a little early certainly has its advantages, proving again once again why I am the smartest man in Vancouver mixed martial arts. Really fun night of fights, capped off by Murray Showtime Sogan defeating Andrew Sinister Small. It was via the TKO, 132 into round four. Sogan had a relentless takedown attack, which seemed to keep Small from getting much going in the way of momentum. Small showed a ton of heart, and it's clear he's a gamer, but the night was Sogan's as he forced a stoppage with ground and pound and was awarded the West Coast MMA Lightweight Championships for his efforts. In a bout for the West Coast featherweight title, Emilio DiTrocchio grabbed an armbar early on Rod Woodcock, and despite repeated slams by Woodcock to try and break the hold, DiTrocchio held tight and forced a tap out at just 58 seconds into the first round to become the new featherweight champion. And the event also played host to a Muay Thai title fight between Logan Martin and Joe Halfer. Halfer was able to control the fight using his reach and some leg kicks. And some very vicious knees seemed to deflate Martin's energy level as the fight wore on. In the end, it was Halfar taking the bout by unanimous decision. In women's action, Cheryl Chan was able to blitz through the defense of Brittany Slews and win the bout via guillotine choke at 112 into the first round, setting up a rematch with women's flyweight champion Sarah McLeod. All in all, a fun night of fights from the people at the West Coast Promotions. The only criticism I would have is that 14 fights may be too many in one sitting. The card was certainly aided by some early stoppages, but had more of the fights gone to a draw in the evening, it could have started to drag a bit. As MMA great Paul Lazenby was saying to me at the event, a good night of fights should be like a good movie, a couple of hours worth of action, and then head home. And like movies, it's always better to be too short than too long. I understand why they want to be able to get an opportunity to as many fighters as possible, but as it stands, I had to split a cab home with some fight fans to avoid being stranded out there. And thanks again to Peter and Shelley for that. But a fun night, and I'm looking forward to West Coast's next offering. In terms of local MMA, the next show is this Friday. Gianco International presents Friday Night Fight at the View 5. It's a kickboxing slash MMA card taking place at Fraser View Hall, 8240 Fraser Street. Tickets are still available. And, of course, Battlefield 6, Over the Edge, coming up at the Edgewater Casino here in Vancouver, headlined by Matt Dwyer versus Micah Brakefield and Chris Day against Jeremy Kennedy. That's happening March 12th. Ticket information is available at battlefieldfight.com. I'm really, really looking forward to that one. And from the West Coast to the other side of the Pacific Ocean, UFC 127 is this Saturday night, headlined by none other than the prodigy BJ Penn going up against the ultra-tough grinder John Fitch in a welterweight title eliminator. Penn has had mixed success at 170, going 2-3 with both wins coming 6 years apart against Matt Hughes. But after losing back-to-back fights against lightweight champion Frankie Edgar, Penn has decided to give 170 another try and is 1-0 in his latest trip into the division with his aforementioned lightning-fast KO of Hughes in November. A win over a top contender like Fitch will legitimize Penn's return to 170 and serve as a springboard for one of UFC's most popular fighters to once again fight for championship gold. Fitch, on the other hand, has had to grind his way back up the division after coming up short in his bid against George St. Pierre back at UFC 100. The owner of a suffocating wrestling attack, Fitch has won 5 straight fights since his loss to GSP. But as usual, the criticism of Fitch is his lack of finishing, as he has not won a fight via stoppage since June of 2007. It will be interesting to see if Fitch's size and wrestling will be enough to take and hold Penn down, and if so, how Fitch will be able to handle Penn's jiu-jitsu game. Standing, the fight is Penn's to lose, as his boxing is on another level than Fitch, and this contrast of styles ought to make for a very interesting fight. The co-main event is a middleweight showdown between England's Michael the Count Bisping taking on Jorge El Conquistador Rivera. The bout has been hyped up by Rivera in a series of internet videos depicting Bisping as pillow-fisted and questioning his manhood. Check them out on the YouTube if you are so inclined. But the Rivera strategy seems to be working, as Bisping seems genuinely upset with Rivera and is looking to shut his mouth the way Dan Henderson shut Bisping's. Bisping's kickboxing looks to be more fluid than Rivera's, but Rivera is tough as nails and is currently experiencing a career renaissance, riding a 3-fight win streak. This one looks to be a slugfest, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if it ends with somebody looking up at the lights. Fighting in front of his home crowd will be George Soteropoulos as he takes on Germany's Dennis Seaver. The deck seems to be stacked in Soteropoulos' favor with the hometown edge, the 8-fight win streak, and the stellar submission skills he seems to pull off at will. Not only that, but Dana White has now said that Soteropoulos could be in line to face the UFC lightweight champion when the division sorts itself out later in the year. But the one thing the Aussie cannot do is look past Seaver. Seaver's got a very good submission game of his own and has won 6 of his last 7, including wins over Spencer Fisher and Andre Winner. This one should be exciting, and watch out once it hits the mat. It'll be a grappling clinic. Rounding out the main card in the welterweight division, crafty veteran Chris Lights Out Lytle will take on Brian Ebersol, who is a late replacement for the injured Carlos Condit. And Aussie native Kyle Noak takes on Chris Camozzi. We'll be back with an exclusive interview with UFC Vice President Mark Ratner right after, we'll call it this.
You got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
You talking to me?
I just want to say one word to you. Just one word.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes, I am.
Plastics.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Just a sweet transvestite.
Where else can you see Hollywood blockbusters, midnight cult classics, indie films, live music, burlesque, stand-up comedy, poetry slams, and live sporting events all at your local theater? The Rio Theater, voted number one in East Vancouver, your neighborhood indie theater that promotes all things cool.
Check out True Grit January 29th through February 3rd, Fabulous Midnight Movies every Friday, The Evil Dead Trilogy February 20th, and the Academy Awards on the big screen February 27th.
For more information, go to riotheater.ca.
Welcome back to In the Cage with Bards here on 101.9 CITR, and we have the honor and the privilege today of being joined by the UFC Vice President of Government and Regulatory Affairs, Mr. Mark Ratner. How are you today, Mark?
Very well. Nice to have seen you the other night, and back in Las Vegas, and working on all our fights upcoming.
For those that don't know, let me bring you up to speed. Mark's background is primarily in boxing, having served as the president of the American Boxing Commission's member of the World Boxing Hall of Fame. Then, of course, you served as executive director of the Nevada State Athletic Commission from 1992 to 2006, when you took your current position with the UFC, as I said, of vice president of government regulatory affairs. Did I leave anything out there?
No, that's a pretty good capsule. It'll be 5 years, May, I've been with the UFC.
Okay, you're not an avid croquet player or anything, I should mention.
No, basketball. Here's what you can mention: a Division I football referee for 20 years and run the shot clock for UNLV basketball. There you go.
Now, that I did not know.
See?
So you were around for the inception of the UFC in 1995 and the dark days of people like John McCain calling it human cockfighting and having it booted off pay-per-view. How would you characterize the attitude of the Nevada Commission towards the sport of mixed martial arts at that time?
At that time, and this is certainly pretty public knowledge, I went on a TV show, Larry King Live, Senator McCain and I on one side, and the former owner of the UFC, a man by the name of Mr. Meyerowitz, and Ken Shamrock, and said it would never be in Nevada with no holds barred, anything goes, no rules. They said, we can't have a sport that has no rules.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the year 2000, late 2000, early 2001, we came up with what is now known as the Unified Rules of Mixed Martial Arts in Newark, New Jersey. And 44 states have now adopted those rules. Two states in America do not have commissions, so 44 out of 48. And the major provinces in Canada.
How much of a role did Lorenzo Fertitta play in opening up the Nevada Commission's eyes to the sport after he and his brother purchased the company, being that he himself was a former Nevada Athletic Commission member?
Well, he had already left the commission. Then he and Frank Fertitta and Dana bought the company in early 01. Once we passed these unified rules, it was real simple.
Mm-hmm.
But before those rules were passed, I would have never got licensed here.
Right. And what about you personally? How did your feelings about the sport evolve over time post the unified rules being put into place?
I had a learning curve. Because I always believed in the beginning that the guy on the bottom on a grappling hold or a jiu-jitsu hold couldn't do much. I thought he was at a disadvantage, and after watching numerous fights, sometimes the guys on the bottom have the guy on top exactly where they want him. So it's been fascinating in that regard, and I'm still learning. It's a glorious sport, but the one thing that I always want to make very clear is that boxing and MMA can go hand in hand. You don't have to hate one to like the other. There's plenty of room for both.
I agree on that point. It was in 2005 when the UFC explosion really began with Spike TV airing The Ultimate Fighter and the ascension of Chuck Liddell into a mainstream superstar. Did you, and to a lesser extent the commission, know then that it was going to keep growing the way it did, or was it something that was viewed as kind of a fad?
It was never, to me, it was never going to be a fad, but when I first came over here in 06, I certainly never thought we would sell 50,000 tickets at an outdoor arena either. The growth's been just amazing. It's very exciting to be on the ground floor of a new sport, and my timing was very good making the move. It was a hard decision to make, but I certainly haven't looked back, and looking forward to everything.
What were the events that led you leaving the Nevada Athletic Commission to become the UFC vice president in 2006?
A chance to be, as I said, it's still a fledgling new sport. It'll be a new sport for a while yet. The sport's only 17, 18 years old when you really look at the history. And I think for my own personal legacy, that's what really pushed me over the ledge to be on the ground floor. And having known Lorenzo, working with him on the Nevada Commission, working with Dana brings a smile to my face every day, because whatever you see in public is exactly the way he is. He's enthusiastic, and I am the oldest person who works in the building here, but there's a vibrancy, and there's a lot of energy and a lot of stuff going on, so it's great.
I'll bet it keeps you young.
Absolutely.
Your title, as I mentioned earlier, Vice President of Government and Regulatory Affairs. Now, the way I understand the position is that it entails you working with athletic commissions and getting them to understand the sport and helping to open up new territories for the UFC to be able to come into. Is that an apt description of the position? Take us through, if you will, the day-to-day operations of Mark Ratner.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a big part of it. I'm not going to Australia. I'm going to Connecticut to lobby their state about MMA. But I just finished talking to Toronto about their show. I was up in Vancouver, as you know, working with their new commission, just going over the basic nuts and bolts of what needs to be done for a show and find out what they need and try to make sure everything runs smooth. And that's my strength as a former regulator. I can show them some things and hopefully help.
UFC 115, rather, was the UFC's maiden voyage into Vancouver, and it was not without controversy, to say the very least. It seemed like it took almost like a last-minute deal and a threat to move the event to Cincinnati to finally get the deal solidified. How would you describe the relationship between UFC and Vancouver City Hall at that time? I know you were up here essentially pleading for sanity.
Well, it's unlike any commission in the world. We have the city council actually running the commission, so it's a lot different. It was never about that the city didn't want it. It was more about indemnification and insurance questions, and it took us a long time to get it settled. I believe this time it'll go much easier. And once the show happened, there was very few controversies. I thought that the show ran smooth. There were some great fights, and there was no problems afterwards. Mm-hmm. It was just a nice event, and I think everybody enjoyed it. And we sold out within minutes, and I believe it'll happen again.
Can't argue with that point. As you said, liability issues and insurance costs seem to be one of the major sticking points. Was what the city asked for substantially above the figure that is typically asked for by an athletic commission?
Most insurance would be anywhere from $50,000 to $100,000 per participant for health insurance for the night of the fight. Here in Vancouver, we had considerably more, but we also understood the liabilities for the city. It's a little bit different, but once we got all the parameters and what they wanted, we were able to do it. As I said, this show will be smoother in that regard, and the arena is great to work with. Harvey Jones, wonderful, wonderful guy, and a wonderful arena. I'm looking forward to working with the reconstituted commission. This is going to be good, and I'm very bullish on Vancouver.
As well you should be. Have you run into an instance like in Vancouver where we have the much-publicized trial period for mixed martial arts and the process of the athletic commission having to make reports back to the city after the event? Or is this a new situation even for someone like yourself?
No, this is a new situation because to my knowledge, I think all commissions are, they don't report directly to the city. They may go to the province, they may go to the state, to the government, but this is a little bit different where it's a city commission. Certainly one of my longtime goals would be to have a provincial commission in British Columbia, and also we need to go to Ottawa some more, which we're doing to change what they call the criminal code to include the sport of mixed martial arts.
Right. Well, as we said, all's well that ends well. Anyway, UFC was a fantastic event, enjoyed by all. You're looking at coming back again in June in what seems to be the worst-kept secret in the world. UFC 131 looks to be taking place at the Rogers Arena here on June 11th. Can you confirm that?
I can confirm. Certainly, that's the rumors, and we're looking at that date. Until we sign the contracts with the city, there is no confirmation, but I'm bullish about that, and I really believe they want it. We'll get it done. And like I said, we can't wait to get there again. There's just a very big response there. We're going to Seattle a couple months before that, April, I believe, maybe March 30th. We've already sold 12,000 tickets there. That's going to be a sellout.
Right, that's the Tito Ortiz and Nogueira.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So it's moving along. We have a sell in Australia. Obviously, you know about Toronto.
Right.
We're going to have a huge crowd in New Jersey. So everything points to just it's a great time for mixed martial arts, and it's going to just keep growing.
It's very exciting. So if and when the UFC returns to Vancouver, can we expect to see the same local flavor that we saw when it came to the officials and the judges that we saw for UFC 115? Or will...
I was happy with the referees and judges. There'll be a mixture with the commission's permission of guys who worked around the world as well as some local guys.
Okay, great. The reason I ask that is because I really believe that here in BC we have some of the most skilled people in the world to handle these endeavors. And while obviously no one's going to argue with bringing in a Herb Dean to referee, we do have people here like Tony Williamson, Kevin Dornan, Jason Dara. They are world-class officials, and on the judging side, I thought last year's BC crew of Chris Franco, Lance Gibson, and Bill Mahood did an admirable job. And
yeah.
I can't see the justice in, you know, I hate to throw a guy under the bus like this, but I'm really going to. A guy like Cecil Peoples being brought in to judge when we have a guy like one of the people I mentioned, or a guy like Paul Lazenby, who is now a Big John Command certified judge, I might add. They're all world-class, they're all former fighters, and local to the event, I can't see why any one of them would be left out in the cold.
Well, that'll be a commission decision, and we'll make some recommendations, and we'll find out. That's right now. I'm not concerned about the officials. I just want to get the event signed, sealed, and then we'll start talking about referees and judges and doctors and the like.
Well, that stands to reason. Is the UFC looking at using more local officials, provided they're qualified, of course, in general at venues? Or are you content that you have the best there is right now and we'll keep seeing these same faces?
Oh, you're going to see a lot of the same faces, but I'm always looking at local officials. When we go to Kentucky, we'll have some of those. When we go to Washington, there'll be some. And certainly in Vancouver and in Toronto, you'll see some names you haven't seen before. Montreal, there certainly was provincial judges. So, yeah, I have notes on every show we have and the officials who worked, and if I think they did a good job, I have no problem recommending them again. The big problem is when we say world-class, some officials who believe they're world-class, until they get before that big 15,000 screaming crowd, some of these guys freeze.
Yeah.
It's not as easy as just saying, boy, I got a UFC fight. There's a lot of pressure there, and it's on worldwide television, and... It's tough, and certainly some referees do a great job, some don't, and we have to look at it. And it's as hard a sport to officiate as there is of any sport.
I would be remiss in not asking about the upcoming Toronto show. It seems to be the latest, greatest area you've opened up to run a show in. How did the UFC finally get Ontario on side with regulation, and how instrumental was UFC Canada President Tom Wright in the process?
Tom Wright is just a wonderful guy, as you know, former CFL commissioner, has a lot of contacts. He was a big help. We've been lobbying in Ontario for over 2 years before Tom got there, and it was just a great confluence of doing the right thing, and the sports ministers voted for it. Now everybody wants to take credit, of course, because they sold 50,000 tickets. And but Tom certainly is a major part of anything we do in Canada, and we're delighted that he's working with us.
The ticket demand must have just blown your doors off. You'd planned on a 42,000 seat configuration. We're currently sitting at 55,000 tickets sold, and there still appears to be a demand. I lived in Toronto in the past, and I still have a lot of friends back there that are upset they can't get tickets. So is there any further plan to offer more seats, or perhaps even chase the Sky Dome attendance record of 68,000 plus set by WrestleMania?
No, I think the most important thing now is the placement of the big screens. We're going to have screens everywhere because we want the fan experience to still be very special.
Sure.
And it's going to be it's an event now. It's more than just a fight. And certainly having GSP headline the card is a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it will be it'll be very interesting. And once we get everything set up and we really know, there could be a few extra tickets. There won't be many. What we don't want is like the head of the Super Bowl where some tickets you couldn't see. So we have to really lay this out, and there's a lot of technical things, but it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful night.
I'm looking forward to it. The one crown jewel that UFC has yet to be able to reach appears to be New York City. It appears you've done everything you can do there. You've worked with the state officials. You've commissioned and presented a study outlining the economic impact. You even donated $75,000 to New York Governor Cuomo, and yet still the door has not been open for you. What seems to be the holdup there, and how much does notoriously anti-MMA State Assemblyman Bob Riley have to do with it?
In my opinion, very little. I think it's, it goes way beyond him. There's, it's just politics. There's other factors at work. I don't think it's about the sport. I don't know. I wish I could put my finger on it. We've gotten out of the Senate there. Somehow, somebody's been able to stop it in the Assembly Ways and Means. We never had a vote on the floor there. But we're not going to give up on New York. We're very, very want to be there. We think it's important for the sport. We will be in New Jersey having a big show on the March 19th. But New York, it's not a question of if. It's a question of when. And it's not this session. We'll just keep pushing. But I don't believe it's about the sport. And Assemblyman Riley barely won his seat. I don't think that. I think he's been very, very happy to have this big thing about MMA be a big part of his life. It's helped him in certain ways, maybe hurt him in certain others, but it's a good cause for him, according to him, and he's going to fight it, but I think it goes beyond him.
It keeps getting him in the media anyway. Maybe that's what's most important to him. So we've had events in Vancouver, in Montreal, Toronto in April. Is there any chance that we could see further UFC penetration into Canada in the prairies, an Edmonton or a Calgary show, something like that?
We had a WEC show in Edmonton last
yep.
year.
Yep.
And, absolutely, I think you could see another Edmonton show, maybe a Spike or a Versus show. We've been hearing from Calgary for 2 years, so that would not be impossible. Heard from Hamilton, heard from Ottawa. Everybody wants to jump on the bandwagon, obviously. Mm-hmm. And we're not the only sport in town or a promoter in town. There'll be other people jumping in there, too. So I just want to get through this trial period in British Columbia, in Vancouver, so the sport will have a foothold, because we don't want to have two shows and say, well, now we don't want it. So we got to keep pushing that way.
Absolutely, and I'm looking forward to seeing the UFC come back to Vancouver in June. June the 11th, the date again that has been talked about. Mark Ratner, it was a privilege meeting you the other night. It was a privilege again talking to you today. Thank you so much for joining me on the program.
No, my pleasure, and I look to see you, forward to seeing you again when we get this all done. You can call me anytime, and I'll be happy to talk with you.
Thank you so much. Mark Ratner, UFC Vice President, here on In the Cage with Bards on 101.9 CITR-FM. We'll be back to wrap things up right after this.
Hey, this is Blaine from The Accused, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Well, that's about it for me. Thank you again to UFC Vice President Mark Ratner. Amazing man, and I can't thank him enough for taking the time to speak with the show. And going out now on Kiprios, he'll be at Surrey Winterfest this weekend, as will CITR. We'll have a table there, and we're going to go out Kiprios. Ignorance is beautiful, and sometimes I really do feel that way. Until next week, the bell has sounded.
The revolution will not be televised, and the television will not be revolutionized, and the person critical steps up to scrutinize as the next contestant to get euthanized.
Time to put my whole life on display, and when I got a job, you know I don't delay. You ain't a pro in the game, you procrastinate. From a Tokyo to the Golden Gate, bang from the general, bank from the tank, bang, bang from the captain, bang from the left brain. Hold a lot of weight, I got a lot of budget, make I gotta find a better way to make a million in a day. Not about a swing when I'm out to play. Hey, said a lot of things, but I won't be fake. Hey, walking with God, trying to get me saved, but the devil's on my shoulder, showing me the way. A to the B, such a reason to feed, enemies of the free who believe what they read, and they say what they see, but they see with the same eyes that the enterprise of the lies to me.
Help me,
because I wanna warn the citizens.
Help me,
one's only guilty of their innocence.
Freedom,
it's just a business as usual.
Ugly,
the ignorant are looking beautiful.
Help me,
because I wanna warn the citizens.
Help me,
one's only guilty of their innocence.
Freedom,
it's just a business as usual.
Ugly,
the ignorant are looking beautiful.
Yes, 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 yes.
So. ugly, but my mommy loves me, and your girlfriend f***s me, cause I'm making so much money. I'm a pimp, pimp, that's what I think. Now go into the bar and grab me a drink. Nicotine amphetamines will make you feel better. A little bit of juice and a little amaretto. No one ever said it better. I never knew love, but I knew each letter. For the ladies, hold the ovaries, be vagina. For the extra CC on the TV, and a star on the boulevard of easy. Sweet, please me, appease me. Now go and grab a friend, come back and tease me. Got a 40 inch screen, 440 in my friend's old door. Would you buy me a Mercedes-Benz for 40 days or 40 nights of rain? Like a mother, because sun is coming out. You better run my cover, sucker.
Help me,
because I wanna warn the citizens.
Help me,
was only guilty of their innocence.
Freedom,
it's just a business as usual.
Ugly,
the ignorant are looking beautiful.
Help me,
because I wanna warn the citizens.
Help me,
was only guilty of their innocence.
Freedom,
it's just a business as usual.
Ugly,
the ignorant are looking beautiful.
I'm so ugly, but my mommy loves me, and your girlfriend f***s me, cause I'm making so much money. White collar, stainless collar, blameless zombies, nameless fathers, dollar bottom, pioneers who sell us threats from biofields. I sell my soul on dirty wheels and dirty mics and dirty needles. Hit me, kill me, give me ill, man, give me something I can feel.
Help me,
because I wanna warn the city.